While you're turning to that song, I'd like to encourage you also to open your Bibles to the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. And we'll begin reading in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 in just a few minutes. As Brother Hare has already stated, we have a number of visitors. And we want you to know that we are indeed honored to have you today as our guest. And among our visitors is Brother Matt Heaton, who serves as an elder in the Fry Road congregation in Houston. And the reason I mention him is because 20 years ago, back in June of 1989, when I moved here, the Fry Road Church supplied almost half of my support so that I could support my family and we could move and work with this congregation. For that, I will always be grateful. But there's another reason why I'd like to mention him. There are sometimes little small things that we do, and we don't realize how much they make a difference in our life. You see, Brother Heaton was the one that wrote the check that I received from Fry Road. But it was not only the check that I would receive each month, but in the check and with it was always just a little short note, kind of a word of encouragement. Keep up the good work. Want to encourage you with what you're doing over there. And I like to use that as an example. We are now very blessed to be able to have fellowship with two gentlemen that preach the gospel, Brother James Duvall and Brother Daryl Trammell. Brother Duvall at Canyon Lake and Brother Trammell in Albuquerque, Belen, New Mexico. I'd like to encourage you to get their address and just put a little note in there and say thank you for what you're doing. I want to encourage you in what you're doing. And Matt, I'll be always grateful for that. And it's good to joy to have you here today as our guest. In the book of Romans chapter 6, I'd like to begin reading with verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we'll also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." In this passage, Paul reminds them of the terms and conditions by which they became Christians, by which they were freed from the guilt of sin. That is, that one who had determined to die to sin, one who had repented, was buried in baptism with Jesus and thus raised to walk a newness of life. Today what I want to do is talk to you about the value and beauty of baptism. And there are a number of reasons why that I want to do that. First of all, people ask us, why do we preach on baptism a lot? Well, number one, because in the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, and also in the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter, we find the great commission that was given by Jesus. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And according to Mark's account, Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Thus, in fulfilling that commission, we notice that in the second chapter of the book of Acts, the gospel was first preached in the city of Jerusalem. The gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And Peter came to the conclusion in the 36th verse, "Let all the house of Israel know that God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And when they were pricked, the question in verse 37 is, what should we do? And in fulfilling that commission, we notice that Peter plainly said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sin." Perhaps we need to preach on baptism because it is a very misunderstood Bible subject. There are a number of misconceptions about baptism. For example, there are a number of misconceptions in the religious world about the candidate of baptism. The biblical candidate of baptism was a believer. Lots of folks talk about when they were an infant, they were baptized. But in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, when this Ethiopian was baptized, he said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." You see, the Bible candidate of baptism was a believer. And furthermore, many people talk about the action of baptism in the sense of some kind of sprinkling or pouring. But the reality is that Bible baptism was a burial. Paul describes it that way in Romans chapter 6. The Greek word baptizo means to immerse or to bury. Had God intended for baptism to be sprinkling or pouring, He could have chosen the Greek word rantizo, which basically means to sprinkle. But instead, the Holy Spirit chose the word immersion or baptizo, which means to immerse or to bury someone. Furthermore, there are a number of misconceptions about the purpose of baptism. Many people say that the purpose of baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. That is simply something that one might want to do because they have been redeemed from sin. But the Bible plainly teaches that baptism was this act of faith in which one was to do in order to be forgiven of sin. Peter plainly declared that in Acts 2. Repent and be baptized in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And in Acts 22 and 16, when Ananias spoke to Saul, he said, "Why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So, what do we learn from these passages? We simply learn that Bible baptism is the immersion of a penitent believer in water for the remission of sin. Now, someone might say, "Well, why is that?" You know, it's interesting. We want to philosophize about a number of things because God made it that way. I suppose we could ask, why did God make it necessary for us to have oxygen and water to exist? Well, because God made it that way. Why did He make it oil and carbon monoxide? Because God made it that way. And there are a number of things that we find in the spiritual realm that cannot be substituted. The blood of Jesus was necessary for the atonement of man because God chose that as the means of redemption. And the terms of pardon, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism are essential because God made it that way. And the Lord's Supper that we have observed with its various elements, authorized elements, are necessary because God designed it that way as a memorial for us to remember the death of Jesus. So they went on to talk about for a while is the beauty and the value of baptism. First of all, the beauty of baptism is that it is a monument to the burial and resurrection of Christ. There are a number of monuments that we find in biblical history. For example, you remember in Genesis 9 that God put that rainbow in the sky as a sign of a covenant to man that He would no longer destroy the world with a flood. And the children of Israel would remember the Passover. In the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, they would observe the Passover as a reminder of how God delivered them from Egyptian bondage. But the greatest event of all, the greatest event in the history of humankind, was the resurrection of Jesus. And baptism was, in a sense, a monument of this great event, the resurrection of Jesus. It was a great victory over death for man. John says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, "I am He who was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Jesus said, "I died, but I came back to life." And in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, or 15th chapter, and beginning with verse 12, I'd like to read that passage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and beginning with verse 12, he says, "Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. The greatest event of all was the victory that God gave of man over death because of the resurrection of His own Son. And thus in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul gave to these saints encouraging words when he says in the 14th verse, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." Thus we find that the apostles proclaimed the resurrection of Christ to the whole world. Eyewitnesses of this one who came back to life, who moved that stone away miraculously and was resurrected according to the power of God. The very heart and soul of the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus, the fact of His resurrection. And thus in Acts chapter 2, Peter could say in verse 32, "This Jesus has God raised up, of which we are all witnesses." And in the 5th chapter of the book of Acts, Peter could stand before those critics and say in verse 29, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers has raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to His right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." They would go and they would testify that we saw Him after He came back to life. The greatest event in human history, the resurrection of Jesus, is depicted in this beautiful scene when one decides to become a Christian. Thus Paul says in the book of Romans, the 6th chapter, "Or do you not know that many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for He who has died has been freed from sin." Very beautiful picture. You take a man who has decided that Jesus is going to be the Lord of his life. He is crucifying that old man by repentance. He is determined that he's going to live for the Lord from now on. And you take that individual who has died to sin, and you bury him in baptism, and now he is raised to walk a new life, new in direction, new in hope, and new in relationship, because now he has a relationship with God. Thus, the beauty of baptism. But baptism is also valuable. I want to talk to you about the beauty and the value of baptism. Number one, baptism is valuable because it is that act of faith that God has chosen by which one is forgiven of sin. Peter plainly declares in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. He says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Greek word eis is the word that is translated for. There are some people that tell us that baptism is necessary after our conversion, that one is baptized because they have already been forgiven. But Peter plainly declares with the Greek word eis that baptism was necessary in order to salvation. A parallel passage in the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter, the 28th verse. When Jesus was talking about the Lord's Supper, and Jesus was talking about the blood that He would shed upon the cross, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many, not because they've already been forgiven, but in order that they might receive remission of sin, or in order that they might be forgiven." Thus, baptism is valuable because God has chosen this as that act of faith that brings one into covenant relationship with God, through which they can be forgiven of sin by the blood of Jesus and by the blood and death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. In the same sense, baptism is valuable because it is essential to salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, Peter said, "This is also an antitype which now saves us." Baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, that is, the cleansing of the body, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Very plainly, Peter says, baptism, because of the resurrection of Jesus, now saves us. Jesus plainly stated in the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Couldn't be any plainer than that. Now, there are some that reason that one is saved before baptism. If that's true, then the statement of Jesus is senseless. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." How can you save a saved man? Jesus said that these things that are necessary to salvation are faith and baptism. Baptism now saves us. In the same sense, in the book of Galatians, the 3rd chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us that it is this act of faith, baptism, that puts one into relationship with Christ. In Galatians 3:26, he says, "For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now the question is, can one be saved out of Christ? Obviously not. And Paul says, "You have been baptized into that relationship, the saved relationship which is in Christ." Thus the beauty as well as the value of baptism. You remember the story of the Ethiopian in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. This eunuch, or this Ethiopian, was riding in a chariot. And Philip came to the chariot and saw him reading from the prophet Isaiah. And the question was, of whom does the prophet speak, of himself or of some other man? And beginning with that scripture, Philip preached to him Jesus. Thus the question, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Then it says, "So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing." I love that story. One of my favorite examples of conversion. I want to make an observation here. This, by the way, is by request. You may notice that in our building enlargement, that our baptistry is different. In that the one baptizing doesn't get into the water with the one being baptized. Question says, but wait a minute. Philip said, or Luke says, that both Philip and the Ethiopian went down into the water. Isn't that significant? No. not to the beauty and value of baptism. It was significant that the Ethiopian went into the water, for he was the one who was going to be buried. But the fact that the one baptizing went into the water was simply incidental to the scene of this one who was buried in Christ and raised to walk a newness of life. Thus, when the Ethiopian found Jesus, we find they commanded the chariot to stand still. And there was this monument of the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. This Ethiopian was buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk a new life. And then he went on his way rejoicing. Maybe there's someone here today who's never obeyed this simple act of faith. It's a beginning. It's a beginning of a wonderful life. It's the beginning of an abundant life, a joyful life. Maybe today you would like to put on Christ in baptism. If we can assist you in that, we would certainly welcome that opportunity. We invite you to come as we stand and sing the song selected.